Blog Talk Radio.
Black power, black power. To all our esteemed comrades and all of our activists, who are already getting geared up for this day of action once again. But this time, we're trying to do it bigger and better than ever. We're trying to get everybody on point. We're trying to get all of the activists together, working on one accord to save our people. So this show is definitely geared to working on our day of action, like all our other shows in the past coming weeks. So we only have technically 1 week left on getting ready for this day of action. So by now, everybody should be out there in the streets with their flyers. Everyone should be getting geared up for this day of action, and we cannot wait any longer upon people to decide on whether or not they want to go in and do this work. Our people are out here dying, and we are so fizzled up in our own personal lives that it's not going too many places at this point in stage of the road, so we have to really get geared up. So I have a few guests that's coming on tonight, and we're going to talk about the day of action, of course. We're taking activism to a new level. So without further ado, we're going to welcome our first guest, 904-705, straight out of Jacksonville, Black Power. Black Power.
How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Sister, I'm better by Allah's grace, giving all praise and honor to the one God who came seeking the lost, the found black man and woman. And today we stand on the legacy of all the great freedom fighters, brothers and sisters. And we thank Allah for raising up the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, our late but great Black Power General. And we thank Allah for leaving in our midst the greatest and strongest black lawyer and attorney in the world, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power.
Black Power, brother. Well, let's go into basically what are you doing for your day of action in Jacksonville, Florida.
In Jacksonville, Florida, in the deep south, in the belly of the beast, we're having a rally at the state attorney's office in the heart of Jacksonville. We had a recent case where a 12-year-old was indicted for first-degree murder, a Hispanic young brother. He was charged with murder, killing his half-brother, and later the facts came out that he had been sexually and physically abused by his father 2 years ago.
Wow.
In Miami. He moved to Jacksonville. So we're doing a rally to support him and his mother, and we're also having a major rally later in the day at Norwood Flea Market to bring attention to injustices that's going on in the city of Jacksonville throughout the state of Florida.
Okay. Well, we definitely want to talk more about, like, what is your goal afterwards? Because many of us just see the day of action as just one rally for one day. But what are your goals, or what do you have set up for, you know, other families that may perhaps go through these type of things?
Well, we're building a coalition of different black organizations to bring attention to these issues that affect our people that many times they're swept up under the rug and you never hear about it in the media. And so we have a coalition of different groups that are working together, coming together to address these issues, to educate our young people on the injustice that goes on daily in Duval County and throughout the state of Florida. Never in the history of the city of Jacksonville have we had black organizations willing to come together and see the bigger picture. It's always been a separate group willing to do their own thing, but now today we're being forced as a people to work together because no one group can solve all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the new Black Panther Party and First Coast Coalition, Nation of Islam, families with children hurting and crime and different groups coming together, we can make more of an impact and educate our people and, you know, warn our people that the biggest weapon we have today is unity.
Okay. So I guess what time, you didn't mention what time you all are going to be starting, because you all are moving from two different places. So could you
We have the state attorney's rally at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Jacksonville, Florida. And then we'll move over to the flea market, which is a major area that black people congregate in. And we have another rally demonstration with music, prizes, and a lot of information with different groups and what type of work they're doing in the community and how they're trying to reach our people. And we're going to have different speakers, and we're expecting a real big crowd for the second event. But the first event will be just a vigil and a rally to support Christian Fernandez and his mother, Susanna. Her name is Bianella Susanna. So that'll be the first one.
Okay. So what do you need from the people in coming and going to be there? What do you need from them?
We got people to show up, and we need financial support, because if we're going to do this work, we have to have financial support, because no movement can exist without finances. And what we're experiencing down here in Jacksonville is that there are people that want us to come on board to help, but they don't understand that it takes economics. And that's one of our major problems with black people. We don't support our own movements, and yet we put a lot of expectations on them and burden them down with a lot of problems. But if we had finances and resources, we could do more work to reach our people.
Okay. That definitely will help. I mean, I think that would definitely help our people. We do need more finances in any organization. Anytime you're trying to help black people, it does require finances, just like that they have finances for the Democratic Party, just like they have finances for the Republican Party. And anything you're trying to do within the community, people must have finances, because most of us don't have regular jobs. And if we do have regular jobs, we have to be able to maintain it, because for so long we always have to come out of our own very pockets, because that's what you had to do with the flyers, am I right?
Yes, sister. We invest in the flyers and invest in the posters and signs, and, you know, it takes a lot of work, and collectively we can get this job done. So working with different groups and reaching out and becoming one force, one voice, we'll be able to make a difference in the black community. So down south now, our people are starting to take a look at the Black Power Movement. And they're also starting to pay attention to the Honorable Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. He's been here several times in the last 6 months, so that has really greatly helped our work and made it easier for us to get through certain doors. And so with that said, sister, we're expecting a pretty good crowd, and we're going to be pushing up into the day of June 25th. I'm excited, rejuvenated. And I'm just thankful to be working alongside Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and all these freedom fighters, whether they're in the new Black Panther Party, Black Power Movement, or other organizations.
Well, tell them briefly what you went through and how that there is no retirement home for revolutionaries, because you still pushed me and you went through a lot.
Right. I came in a new Black Panther Party in the year 2005. I was a member of the Nation of Islam from the year 1991 to 2004. I served up under Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Mahan, did personal security with him, but like many brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam, everybody can attain to leadership, so I set up in the mosque collecting dust and rust. And so in the year 2004, I heard Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz speak at Mosque Maryam, and I was touched that he made a comment that everybody can't sit in the nation. There's other organizations where we can go out and help and reach and save our people. So I was touched by that message. So in the year 2005, I came into the new Black Panther Party, and just like a foot soldier, I started working in the community, and there was many doubters and naysayers saying that the Black Panthers were dead, they could never be revived, and I've been arrested, you know, slander, evil spoken of, and death threats, but, you know, Allah is the greatest, and I never had any doubt that the Black Panther Party could grow in the state of Florida. This is a fertile hotbed for our people, but it takes someone that's committed, that's focused, that's studying, that loves the people. And, you know, we have to love our people more than they hate themselves, because if you don't love them more than they hate themselves, you would turn on your people. And I've seen much of that in the struggle in the city of Jackson. We've never had a strong Black leader that has been uncompromising. And so I believe that I walk in the line of divide, following our example in the honorable but late but great Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
Okay, what did you go through recently? Because, again, this just takes a lot of people with a lot of these excuses on why they can't do this and why they can't do that. So if you could offer some encouragement, not only encouragement, but basically break down what you just went through here recently, health-wise.
But health-wise, I came up with a disease called lymphoma, which my mother was smoking at the time when I was in her womb. And in the year 2007, I came down with it, lost about 30 pounds, had fluid in my lung collapsed for 6 months, wasn't aware, and then it flared back up a couple of months ago. And so I had to have surgery to remove my lung. And even still, a revolutionary cannot never lay down. And stay down, a revolutionary must get up, because when we study the history of our ancestors, in spite of all the oppositions that they experienced, they rose up to try to free themselves. But today, our people have become very complacent because they have a job, or a car, or a home, and they think that if they stand up, they're going to lose, but we're losing anyway. So we might as well stand up as a people. In spite of our illnesses, our ailments, we really have no choice, sister, but to stand up, because if we don't stand up today and fight for our rights, fight for our freedom, then we're going to be destroyed, because this enemy is, you know, doesn't have any mercy. If he's willing to bring a 9-year-old or 10-year-old before a adult court and charge that person with murder, the time is at hand. And so as Black people and as indigenous peoples, we must unite in spite of all that we go through.
Wow, that is so true. But I know that you would definitely do some good work. But you want to give out your contact information to the people so when they will be able to contact you if they're in the local area, not just for the day of action, but maybe to just help you in your the duties that you have as a activist / revolutionary / Panther, as a person that generally cares about Black people.
My name is Brother Mikhail Muhammad. I can be reached at 904-705-8556. My email address is Mikhail, M-I-K-H-A-I-L, number 45 at live.com. And so I'm always ready to move out on the front line for Black and Indigenous peoples. It's just an honor to serve our people, and it's not for the weak-hearted. It's not for the timid. It's for the strong soldiers, female and male. And we have some of the strongest women in the city of Jacksonville that are joining the new Black Panther Party. And I tell brothers every day, I said, brother, you got to get out of this sexist mindset because some of these sisters are more stronger than we are. Some of these sisters are willing to get on the front line and fight for our people more than the men are. Too many of the black men are making too many excuses. Either they're out here chasing the white man's woman, and it's very disturbing to see a black man with the white man's woman and be with something that he doesn't even want. And the black man, he honors her and cherishes her, but we must always remember that it's the black woman that gave birth to the earth and gave birth to the black man. So the black man has a duty and responsibility to stand up, defend, and protect the black woman and be a man and stop being a coward, stop ducking and dodging, tipping and skipping. So I would like to say black power.
Black power, brother. What? It's interesting. Don't go away just yet because it's interesting you brought up the word sexism. Now, you know I just can't let you walk away from that.
Right.
What is your thoughts? Break down more about that. Break down what do you feel on the terms of, because you, again, you are a brother and you may, you know, see it, you know, with other brothers may be doing that. So how do you, as a brother, in encouraging other brothers not to go that route, what would you say to them?
Well, we have to get knowledge of self, and we have to understand that once we study the history, we see that we have female warriors on the front line. And when you don't know that history, you tend to think that the black woman is secondary or she's not primary, but without the black woman, we cannot go forward. And because of our divide between the black man and woman, we have stalled as a people. And because the white man has now allowed us to have access to his white woman, we have adopted these sexist ways, but that's not our history. That's not our culture. And so, with that said, when we look at the media today, the woman is normally being exploited as a sex object, as a secondary, but as I said, not primary. But we know that you can't get to God without the goddess, and you can't get the goddess without the God. So I believe that it's a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding, and when you don't know yourself, you cannot love yourself. So how can we love the black woman in her true essence when she's not being portrayed in our true essence? When we're looking at videos and movies and we see her in the print media, she's always been exploited sexually. So unfortunately, many black men are being tainted and corrupted. And so that affects us in our view that the black woman doesn't have a primary role. She has a secondary role.
That is really true. I find it to be very disturbing when we're all going through the same struggle. We shouldn't have a separation or a woman's, a woman's activist on the terms of separation from our kings. We stand together, and I definitely stand in solidarity with my brother. And
right.
I just want them to be more aggressive on the terms
yeah.
of organizing, because that's very, very important. Women shouldn't always have to be on the front line. We all should be on the front line together, because that's a true warrior. That's what they did with the Red Man. That's what they do in a lot of other nations. That's how we
right.
roll during the ancient Egyptian times or Kemetic times.
Yeah.
We rolled together. We stood on the same line without any struggle. And we worked things out within our household. The true household in the 70s, where the mother was, of course, the mother and the father was the head. But
that's right.
The mother was the head also, but she played her role, and the males play their roles. So within our movement, I think that if you are a person that knows how to build a ashtray, then build the ashtray. If you are a person
right.
that knows how to make flyers and you're good with graphics and you can build websites and play your role, don't try to, you know, it's okay to learn other roles. And sometimes when people want willing to step up, you know, sometimes we as organizers learn how to wear many new hats. And we have to design so many different hats. But at the same time, if we all play our roles effectively, I think we will be better organized and we will be better trying to make things happen and make things
right.
more logical with
ourselves,
because it's that we're going to have the same issues going on in the community. And that's part of what's wrong with our community, because we're not Eurocentric. We're actually black, we're African and Moors and all these different titles that we call ourselves. But at the end of the day, we are the people, and the Panther is the people. And I think the more and more people realize that, I think that we will be able to rebuild our strong nation that we once had.
Well, I will say this.
Go ahead.
The event we had more women at the event that were standing up and willing to be part of the solution, and it's very troubling that the black man today has just been so conditioned and his energy has been redirected, that his focus is the chasing of the white man's money and the material pursuits of this world. And so it has definitely had an adverse effect on our families today. You know, I know that more households are being led by black women than men. The men are either in jail or they're in the streets. They've given up the fight. If you was to come to Jacksonville, it's very depressing when you would see homeless black men with homeless white women. You know, and it's like the black man has decided to accept the worst of the worst, and you have all these black women running around here without a strong brother in the home, you know, a strong role model in the home. And so when they see strong black men, a lot of times their eyes light up. They get an energy and a positive vibe that they normally don't get. So down here in Jacksonville, there are more women that are inquiring about the Black Power Movement and the new Black Panther Party and the struggle itself. And, you know, myself, I've had to adjust my thinking, because when I came into the movement, I had this sexist view, but eventually I had to start seeking black scholars that were females. Because a lot of times we get, you know, one side track when we constantly listen to the male point of view, but we're not listening to the women's point of view. And so I think that's part of our problem also in the struggle. You know, in the conscious community, a lot of brothers are sexist. I believe that at one time I had been that way, but I've had to grow and get beyond the sexist view that the woman has a subservient role.
Well, brother, I do appreciate, number one, your honesty. And definitely number two, coming on the radio and definitely, like, really, you know, doing all the hard work that you do in Jacksonville. If nobody else tells you, let me be the first to tell you that you definitely are appreciated. And I'm so happy and honored that you are my comrade. So if you want to, you can hang on, but I'm going to take the next call. 504. Go ahead.
Black Power, and I'm honored to be on the Black Power Radio.
Oh, no problem, brother. Black Power.
Black Power.
Okay, we're going to take the next call of 504-235. You're on Black Power Radio. How you doing,
Black
brother?
Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Great leader.
Mm-hmm.
I should say leaders, everybody listening. It's Reverend Brown
true.
Here in New Orleans, yes. First of all, I want to thank you and Brother Sean, all of you for being courageous leaders and standing up. Of course, as you know, we are facing a serious, serious challenge in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, I want to mention that yesterday I was in a meeting and with a group of activists, about 30 of us, and they were trying to strategize around some of the issues that affect impacting the black community, such as police brutality and also the unemployment situation. But on the police brutality issue, I beg the difference when they stated that if the police attack a brother or sister, they should not try to resist but fold up and keep the police from hitting them with the heavy blows. I made a statement. What I said was that I was not taught that way. I say, as a former member and an alliance with the New Black Panther Party, now we're not taught to really fold up and let the police beat us. We are taught to obey the law, but if the police go upside my head, I have a right to defend myself. Is that right?
That is true. That's right. That's right.
There's no guarantee if I surrender or submit that the blows gonna get any lighter. And so what I'm saying is this, is that when I said that, the whole place just began to change. And everybody began to comment that I'm sending out the wrong message to put up a resistance against police terror. I believe that what I learned in the new Black Panther Party, I told them, was that obey the law and police stop you, whatever you say, do, like, scratch your leg, whatever, just do it. But if a police is going to beating you and whooping you for no apparent, without proper cause, without proper provocation, that I'm within my right to defend myself.
That's right.
Or defend a brother or sister who are being attacked. And they could not, here's what I'm saying, they could not deal with this kind of language. Therefore, I'm saying is that the new Black Panther Party are one step ahead of the theology or the mythology of some of these activists out here. They still are living in this slave master type of mentality. Are you hearing mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
I heard exactly what you're saying.
Cannot,
you're
we
right.
We cannot. You understand? I hope I ain't taking up too much of your time.
No, go on, brother. Go on, please.
Okay, all right. Now, and then so, you know, I say, but most of all, and on the impact of education, we speak about our own schools, having our own educators, having our own books, and not just having a traditional education of studying about the history, the colonial history of the white man, but having books in our classroom to teach us regarding the Middle Passage and how some of our great ancestors overcome slavery. Is that right?
That's right.
And how we can put our resources together and, you know, form alliances and build on that. But they sitting around talking about how they can get more black teachers hired in white societies. Come on now. They fired 300 teachers in New Orleans, and they say they're not hiring them back.
Right, they don't even have a place to live, let alone a job.
Exactly. You know, you got 300 teachers out of that, let's be honest here, about 150 was black.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest was at, what you know, you had Hispanics and then Asian. Of course, white teachers also was involved in this. But I'm saying, sister, that we must develop an educational system
mm-hmm.
that would actually, and I'm trying to put the words together, revolutionize the mind of our young
That's
people.
Right. That's a good word.
And then the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the black man must be remade over again.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke those words. He said that we would not be ashamed to identify with Africa and our culture. And our, you know, he used the word Asiatic black man. I don't know how many people feel with the word Asiatic, but anyway, I don't want to get off into ethics and opinion. I'm just saying we need something different than what we got now. Okay, and then we talked about the hip-hop community.
Mm.
How that the energy, brother was talking about the energy of the young people, the energy they're using is in a negative way, it's impacting them because they done turned the gun on themselves rather than understanding what the gun was made for, and that's self-defense. Is that right or wrong, y'all?
You are right, absolutely.
The gun was not made to be used for the destruction of your own self. The gun was made to protect your community, your nation, your people, not to you be used as a tool to wreak catastrophic disaster
right.
up on oneself, huh? But
that's
what
right.
we see now, what we see now, let's add it up. In mostly every city, every major city, I can't understand the theology or the mythology of how black folk kill themselves more in cities and on the countryside. But I'm just saying that you got more brothers dying in inner cities because you have this type of persona that I'm bad, I'm a gangster and all this. Then you go to the countryside and you got the hip-hop culture and the gangster rap culture out there, but they have a limit of terror in their mind against self. I don't know how to figure that out. How can you leave New Orleans and go to what? Eunice, Louisiana, and brothers slinging dope, but they're not killing each other. Now you tell me, how can the brothers in a small country town selling slinging drugs, not killing each other, but you come to the city and you have 3 murders a day? It's just unbelievable how just a environment can change our people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a bad city. I'm bad. I'm from the city. I'm from the project. You know, it's just a brainwashing condition that we find ourselves. I apologize. I took too much of your time.
No, you didn't. No, keep going, brother. Keep going.
Okay, I just want to pause for a minute. But in honor of my brother and my old leader, chairman, Malik Zulu Chabaz, who's not on the call, but in his absence, I do honor Malik Zulu Chabaz. I do honor you, sister, who have been keeping this movement together, and brother Sean, who have been really keeping this movement together and contacting us, sending us emails. We stubborn, we mean, but y'all keep driving us. I appreciate it. I want to tell you that calling me, no, I'm telling you that we need you. We need people like that. We're not kids. They are children. But then again, the white man put all kind of stumbling blocks in our way.
That's true.
Have us worrying about our rent. Have us worrying about our groceries. Have us worrying about a light bill. And distraction. You understand what I'm saying? So when y'all,
exactly.
When you and brother Sean come in and say, Reverend Brown, you know, look, brother, we need that fly. Let me tell you something, sister. God, you know, and God knows I ain't lying. I'm working on this fly, but the day of action is on. I got all the people that are going to be with me. We're going to do this day of action. I will. Now, I apologize to the chairman. I will have you my fly. But I'm letting you know that the day of action will happen in New Orleans on the 25th of June. We will be set up, and we will have our cameras set up, everything. Everything will be recorded and documented, okay, on that day. Y'all know we're in action. Matter of fact, y'all can fly down here and see us in action. But anyway,
right.
any event, just to go back, one brother in the meeting, and I'm going to put this out, was talking about COINTELPRO and the FBI. And would you believe a national assist that there was a lady by the name of Carmelita Freeman. She worked for the Justice Department. And she's supposed to go around mitigating disputes between the black and white community. And I ain't see her because, you know, the crowd was kind of like around the table. I looked up and said, they have a Justice Department official who worked for Eric Holder at our meeting yesterday. And we talking about COINTELPRO, FBI. FBI sitting right there.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, basically, and then we came to
and
meet.
And she's telling you in the door that she's FBI.
Her name is, and you can look it up on the net, her name is Carmelita Freeman, and she worked for the Southern Eastern District of the country, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi. She goes all around mitigating. She's like a mediator for Eric Holder and the Justice and the Justice Department, and she comes in, and what she do, she hear brutality complaints, racial discrimination complaints from the citizens. Now, she got to be objective because she go to the white community, and they tell her some stuff, and she bring both our side and their side together to the Justice Department. Of course, we win every time. But anyway, to make a long story short, when the brother Sekou Fila, spelled Sekou Fila, the brother had been in the struggle for the last 40 years, back then in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Brother was talking about COINTELPRO and how the FBI and the CIA, the FBI and the Justice Department was plotting on black organizations such as Native Islam, the Black Liberation people and stuff like that. Of course, back in them days, the Black Liberation wasn't around. But you still, 1968, the Black Panther Party came on board, as you know that. But anyway, what I told the brothers and sisters at the meeting, I said, brothers and sisters, I didn't know the sister was sitting in there. I said, brothers and sisters, first of all, there's only one organization that the Justice Department is looking at, and that's the New Black Panther Party. There's no other organization they're looking at.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. That's the only organization. The rest of the, I mean, to be disrespectful to the Nation of Islam, brother walking around that was sitting in there in the nation. The nation got kind of like to the more like in the Miller, like they're not really rocking the boat like they used to. But the New Black Panther Party, under our leadership, is the organization that is really reaching out to the black community and to our people. Okay? So I just told them, like, well, I said, look, we're not running around here as no paramount military organization with no guns, chasing no white folks. We ain't no terrorists. Huh, sister? We ain't no terrorist organization. But right. If there's any organization that the white man is watching, they're going to watch us, the New Black Panther Party. And I'm caught up with y'all because I'm in alliance with this party, and I dress just like y'all. I look like y'all. Huh?
You are
like y'all.
You are
I talk
Panther.
Like y'all.
The Panther is the people. Brother, the Panther is the people. So you are a Panther. So,
all
I
right.
mean, you are. So, don't even say you just look like us. You are. You are a people.
You understand what I'm saying? Yes,
yeah,
yes, yes, sir. And so when I told the brother, I didn't know the sister, her name is, and Minister Malik, I call him Minister Malik, God help me, but Attorney Malik doing some bad probably done heard of her name. But she goes around, matter of fact, you heard about the Gina movement,
mm-hmm.
the Gina thing?
Yes, sir.
Well, okay.
Tell us about that, because I know for a fact that she was definitely one of the hard hitters in organizing that. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think a lot of people need to know who you are totally. If they haven't heard, if they've been up under a rock or somewhere like that.
Right, basically, yeah. Well, you know, currently the Gina family and Gina and the black community in Gina is under martial law currently.
Hmm.
I mean that whatever black folks do, they are being stopped in a RASB. And trumped up charges, add charges, and stuff like that. So, coming there in 2007, September 20th, with a mass rally, of course, the New Black Panther Party played a big role, you know, in that
mm-hmm.
movement. And Malik got upset with me because the chairman got upset with me because he said, I look in the newspaper and see you represent NASDAQ Network. And you represent the New Black Panther Party and say, black man, you got to break away from one of those organizations. He ain't going to be with
you
us.
You was rolling like a 100
no,
million ones. Oh, that's all good. You all right with me, brother. But tell us more about basically on the lines of what you had to deal with up on organizing that and different struggles that you faced in dealing with that. That's what we want
well,
to know
well,
about.
Well, basically on the front side, on the front side of it is that all activists and the grassroots activists that I got involved, New Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, and the New Black Panther Party, basically, along with the ACLU Color Change, you know, Color Change is a white organization, but you can't negate the fact that they was heavily involved and organizing protests on the ground. But the New Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, and other black organizations that are not nationally known was involved in organizing and putting together the Gina March. We had several marches protested
mm-hmm.
prior to the big march on September. It was a lot of struggle because, you know, sister, in during that time, some of the nationalists was not really agreeing with the methodology of the so-called liberal black leaders.
Mm.
I'm telling you like it is. Let's just put it out straight. It was a show of unity, but it was a show of unity. Al Sharpton Group, Jesse Group, the New Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam, the White Organization of Color of Change, and the ACLU. You consider that white organization, right? They was there. And then you had the groups from Texas, the white group from Texas, who came in and they put their name in the basket as the organizer. But the organizer was the New Black Panther Party and also the National Action Network and Reverend Brown, you know, and others. Not going to say the other person's name because she's not with us no more. But all due respect to her. I'm just going to say that we actually organized protests in front of the courthouse as the trial of Michael Bell was going on. Of course, five of them had been released from prison. And the only Gina Six was left in prison was Michael Bell. The reason why he was left in prison, people understand, is that when he whooped that white boy's butt in that school, he was on probation at the time for a previous fight. Yes, he was. He was on probation for a previous fight that he had, unfortunately, with a sister. I don't mean to put it out like that, but Michael Bell had a fight with a girlfriend, and he tore out every window in her car, and he was on probation. But what happened under that pressure, a white guy by the name of Justin Baker, y'all heard about him, who called him the N-word. I can say the word nigger on here. I apologize.
You sure can. You can. Go ahead, nigger.
Okay. Well, he called the brother a nigger. And the brother, as the brother was exiting the building, the white boy, Justin Baker, was jealous because Michael Bell was, unfortunately, his brother was dating a white girl. Come on now, let's put the whole thing out. And when he was exiting the school, Justin Baker, who was a white boy, called him, nigga, leave our women alone. And he snapped.
Wow.
Not knowing I'm on probation already, jumping on the slip.
Exactly.
He snapped and he stomped this white boy. Because he stomped him unconscious. Which, how the other five got involved, they basically were just instigators, like whoop his ass, you know. Let me just put it out like it is. And they were just beating him. And the white folk, you got 80 blacks and about 300 whites. The whites start running. Even though they outnumbered us by 10 to 1, they start running. Okay, when they saw this black man wheeling on this white man, they started running. And that's what got Michael Bell in trouble. And when they arrested Michael Bell, they arrested the other five and locked them up. It was a juvenile that y'all don't know, we don't know nothing about. He was a part of the Gene of Six, but they tried him separately. But anyway, any event,